We're going to be talking about renewing our inward man in the series of the renewing series. And in here, what we're trying to do is I have two scriptures that was part of this series. And what I'm going to try to do is the Wi-Fi connection here is weak. Maybe you might have to drive up to us. So
I've got two scriptures here, and I had a whole set of slides to go with the presentation. Hopefully, it will
help you tie it all together. But the thing is, I've been through a lot.
I've been through a lot in the last 3 months, and I wanted to put on top of my experiences towards this idea of a renewing and inward man. Does those changes do come up? It is very fresh, and I would like to make it real for all of us, because it is not a theology conversation here. The whole idea is that, yes, I know that all of us in this chapel are going through some sort of introspection, reflection in terms of how are we going to connect with the community, how are we going to make ourselves more relevant today? And this is what I thought would be relevant for us. So,
what you got up there? Give it a moment.
Okay. So the first
scriptures that was given as part of this
series is Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. If you will turn to that.
And I'll just read that portion.
I had that as part of the slides so that we don't have to go flipping in the Bible, because I wanted us to be in the context of Paul and our current situation. Before we continue, let us commit this time to God. Gracious Father, we come to you this morning. I ask you how many years you serve, sir. Speak.
I ask you to allow me to step out of your way,
shine forth yourself, make yourself visible, glorify yourself this morning. I ask this all upon you, your servant's name. Amen. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, just jumping right into the verse itself, I'm not even going to read the context first. And have to put on.
Okay, I'm good for the moment. Okay, thank you. Let's see what I got. Slide presentation. I need to share. Share my screen. Okay, I'm going to try to share it first. Start video. Do I have to start video? I'm good. Okay, full screen coming up.
Okay, my second slide is entitled Background. So very quickly, let's go back a little bit before we talk about Colossians chapter 3. The relevance of the background is, in Colossians, Paul wrote this letter and he was in jail. He had already been captured because the Jews were not happy with what he was saying, what was for a different area. But in the meantime, there was another disciple, Epaphras, and he heard about Paul in a different part of Paul's ministry. And he was leading a church in Colossae. And the people there were all very confused. Some were talking about the old law, the Jewish law, which one should come first. They were confused because there was this idea of a dualism, whether you should have part old law, new law. They had philosophical debates. And the problem with these things is that it distracts from what is the core of the of what Christ came to do. He came to have a relationship with humans. He came to have a relationship with you and me. God wanted to connect with us, so much so that he would even pay the price of removing that obstacle called sin through his son, that he would put his son up as a price to be paid so that he could commune. And then here we go about debating the wrong things, which is the relevance of today. Today, we're also distracted with intellect, science, what is the popular trending news. And I don't want to go there because it distracts, again, from who or what God wants us to do. So Paul confronts all of them during this time. And so we go into the next slide in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And that's good, perfect. And have to put on the new, give me this, okay. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So very quickly, you see here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, there is this idea of putting on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This idea of renewed in knowledge, let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you have not learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have taught him, taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the sight in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. The idea here is that there is two parts of us always. Until we go to meet him, we are always at war with our old self, and we have to work constantly to recognize this corrupt self that holds us back, that makes us play safe sometimes, that gets us we don't get in trouble anymore because, you know, these days we recognize that we are saved. We are now renewed creatures, but then we still work on this idea of sanctification. We work towards, every day we are confronted with challenges, and we pray about it, we submit ourselves to God, and we do the right things. But that's good. Okay, according to, and we try not to grieve the Holy Spirit, which is what we want. This whole idea of renewed knowledge, we come week after week. One of the things that I put inside here in my own personal notes is that you are not the same, so like that. You're not the same Doug as you were 2 years ago or a year ago. If you ever have a chance to reflect closely on what you do now that you didn't do, and even if maybe not 2 years, definitely 10 years. Look at yourself. You have definitely grown. You want to always constantly grow the renewing man. So in reflection, we will be renewed. But in forward reflection, what are your goals? Are you just like, oh, I don't know what today holds for me? Is there a goal or a path that God wants you, and are you in communication with God in terms of what is that new reflect, what is that renewed man? One of the characteristics of us Christians is that we are more discerning than before. We all recognize some things that we don't do. And the way you realize this is that when you compare yourself with the worldly self, the world as it is, you will recognize you have a set of values, you're more discerning, you have insights that you dare not say sometimes. And the reason is because it offends them. But you know you're right. And it's okay, it's good. That is discernment. That is the discernment of the Holy Spirit. It allows you to say, to restrain yourself and not engage in worldly debates. But you want to move away, you recognize you want to move away from the corrupt full nature of the old self. The other important phrase here is the image of him. If can we go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait
for the Savior,
the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is even able to subdue all things to himself. The idea here is this citizenship in heaven. When we realize that what we do day to day is just only for the period of our 60 and 20 years, and we also have to recognize there is an after citizenship, our long term or our final place, we have to put those two together. It's just not one for the 60 and 20; it is for 60 and 20 plus eternity. And when you recognize that that eternity also works back into our current state, you have to now ask the question, what is this value that we are not so much contributing forward, but contributing today? So our mindset of this idea of him who created us for the long eternity was never for the short term. It was always for the long term. So when he created us for the long term of the eternity, I call it long term, this, what are these value and characteristics that we carry over? Love, peace, joy, these images that was talked about back in Genesis when God created man in his image. It is not as an image to be to rule, which is what Satan did when he corrupted human nature. He wanted man to be equal with God. Never the case. He wanted us to be in fellowship with God. This is what God wanted us to be in all times. So as we are going from our current self of this renewing, how do we renew our relationship with God for others? And we'll get to the point where others can see this relationship in us, in this idea of the renewing man. We have another passage as part of this renewing man series also. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. I have it up here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our out man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here we have some couple of thoughts here to be aware of what you are constant, what you trade off every day. All right, as you realize it's being renewed day by day, you give up. What is the perishing? Don't hold on to it, because you are supposed to let it perish. You want it to perish, and you want to gain what is tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more of that. Here's one of my personal zingers on myself when I was doing this study. You cannot coast in Christianity.
I have been playing it safe for the longest amount of time. Quiet, sitting in the back there. If Doug asks me to do something or Tim asks me to do something, I'll do it. I would not come forth, volunteer, and do everything. Partly because I don't know my gifts. That's a weak. can you coast? Yes, you can. But I don't think that's what God wants me to do as of now, as of 3 months ago. Okay. I'll come back to that. So that was a zinger for me. And as you look at this verse, realize that you don't have to define what is next. You don't have to define the work that is required to lose the outward man that is perishing. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, because we are in Christ. That template, that objective has already been set for us. We may not have full knowledge of what is the ultimate goal, but Christ and God has already set that for us. And we're supposed to accomplish that. I mean, it is set up for us in terms of what are the fruits of the Spirit, but how it actually manifests in 2023, in September, October, or 2024, we don't have an idea, but when we back reflect, we will be able to say that is the fruit of the Spirit. And here's another one also. If you look at verse 16, and we should welcome this, so long as we live, so long as we breathe, there will be a renewing. So it's being renewed day by day. So do realize that sometimes it's going to be painful. And if it's not good for you, if it is, embrace it. Because yesterday's imperfection is today's learning in Christ. I have a reference here, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So all my previous experience and knowledge, I am not going to throw it away. I'm not going to treasure it. I'm willing to lose it. We'll come to that. I'm willing to lose it. For the knowledge of knowing Christ. That the idea, and again here, is that don't hold on to yesterday's glory, because yesterday's tools may not solve tomorrow's problems.
We talked about this where
your former conduct, you're not the same person as you were 2 years, and there is also ongoing restoration and renewal. So long as you breathe, there is ever progression, because yesterday's imperfection is today's learning.
How is this renewing?
Are you trying to produce the change? We talked about this yesterday. Sometimes you try to fake it till you make.
And I was doing that for a long time.
I was grinding it out, just being there, because I was just submitting. Subconsciously, you're not there. You're like a zombie. You're not awake. You're not engaged from God's perspective. You want to let God change you, make the place alive. And it's come to me that I got to stop. I got to realize that You know, sometimes faking it will not work. And I have to allow him to produce the righteousness. And sometimes I do grieve the Holy Spirit by refusing the change. So that is something I have to be aware about. Every day is an opportunity God gives me to take something and relate to him, no matter how challenging and scary it is, because I may suffer embarrassment, grief, work or career type reprobation if I speak out that is not politically correct. In this last previous verse, there is this idea of constantly renewal. You're not going to wake up one day and become a renewed man. There is a bit by bit by bit by bit change. It's a daily change. However, I can tell you, I got a dramatic transformation. And by product of his questions for you in the audience, you don't have to answer the question. So let's go back to one. So if you look at verse 16 and 17, therefore we do not lose hope, even though our man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction by day is but for a moment. For a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Question to the audience. How has the life of Christ transformed me? Think in terms of your actions, your thoughts, your motive, your speech, your desires. Those are the areas where God is looking to see as little points, because when we conduct ourselves as Christians, it's in speech, it's in action. People see this, people see our actions, people hear our speech. People even look, sometimes if you are fortunate, people look at the motives of who we are. And if ourself shines forth everything that is Christ, so every morning we have our meditation and we commit ourselves to God and we ask God to go out before us, to lead our mindset, that we don't run the day as if it's ours or react as if like we didn't commit the day to God. People will see that. We have to commit that to God. So that is a question that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 17, I leave with you as a question for you to reflect. In terms of your journey, in terms of renewing yourself to God. One of the test questions, as you can think through this, is what do you have to offer the neighbor over his religion? Everybody out there, out of this chapel, believes, for the most part, except for those who are, I guess, agnostics, that don't believe that there is a God. They all have a God of some, a deity of some that they do believe in, whether it's even a Presbyterian or a different religion. But he's looking at you. This is going to be based on good works. What is it that leaves him guessing when he is looking at you, that leaves him utterly baffled that you will do something for him that is different from his religion? Because if he can do something equally as capable as you, that just requires human effort, then this idea of a renewed man has not taken it to the next level. It is to the point of where you are submitting, you're thinking about him, you're caring about him or her, your neighbor. We call him the man next door. It doesn't have to be your neighbor. It is your work colleague. beyond the human capacity, because they can all somewhat imitate what we are doing. But if it was Christ-centered and Christ outpouring, Christ caring for them, Christ caring for their soul, their eternity, Christ not you withholding your critical judgment statements that would incite them into an argument, being right, and in your quietness when they talk to you, you humbly and quietly say, I understand. Not going to these contention, what the world is doing. It makes people stop short and think about, here is a person who's been renewed. It is not about your wisdom, your talent, your ability, because that's what the world teaches. If you notice these three things, you need to add to those three things or even take them out. That is what the world teaches. What we need to add to that is compassion, love, an outpouring of caring. Christ was very intelligent when he dealt with Martha in terms of the eschatology. But what I was most impressed when he dealt with Mary is that he wept. He was quiet. There is a sense of God working. I deal better with when people don't debate. And it's so loud sometimes for me. If you want, you can read John chapter 15. But in the interest of time, we can move forward.
Who drives this
renewal? Do people say that when they see you, you reflect the qualities of Christ? I put some role models here so that we can also... One thing I want to talk about also, I didn't talk about this enough, just reading here. Paul is writing this letters, and I have come to the conclusion that Paul is one of the greatest role models for us to follow, not only Christ, but in trying to see someone who actually saw Christ. Here is a second person. I have these people here also. I put up Fanny Crosby here because apparently she was blind from the age 3. And never stopped her from writing music. People like Jim Elliot. You were not afraid to die. Was it Jim Elliot who said something like, he is no fool that is willing to give up something he cannot keep for something he will have eternally or something like that. People are not known for what they were or are. A lot of people will not know these names except for within this circle. You don't have to be famous to be a renewed man. People will recognize you for that. Like Fanny Crosby, we still recognize her till today. Ruth is recognized from in the Bible. And at every point of time, when people ask the question, the answer to this, Christ alone is the explanation for our living.
And always our
what we should be looking for is from people to actually say, I want you to be whole. To be the word here, sorry. I want you to be whole.
People should be able to say, I want what you have.
I want what you have, but it's not right. I want what
you have, which is Christ. I want what
you have, which is Christ. I want what Christ has. That should be the standard as in the last bullet there.
This is going to get to something I like. Okay. Let's continue. I need to share screen again. internet connection is not stable. Chris? It says look upon. I'm just going to kill my internet. I'll see what you got. Nope, back. Up some more. Okay, that's it. Start from there. I'll try to kill her. Okay. So, look at this. One thing I have been very fortunate to see myself not getting reactive to this is that the idea is that I have been through a loss of vision, but I recognize that my vision is not a bad situation. It's actually pretty good. I would say it's been pretty good so far. And again here, when I look upon what has been happening, I don't look upon the circumstances as being a victim of what has happened. I don't see it as, oh, I have lost my sight, or any part of it thereof. Why did it happen to me? Why? I don't look at it as a victim of that the world would typically. I have been very, very blessed to look upon the circumstances as God-given opportunity for the furtherance of gospel. And I'm trying to finagle with this guy. Sorry. And to rejoice at what is God is going to do instead of what God did not do. I am very, very privileged to have this disposition. There is a very famous or very popular verse that we have in the scripture. And we're doing this thing where we're filling in the blanks. For me to live is, all of you know that answer, don't say it out. And to die is. But what I've done is I've taken it out. I put two grids in there for you to fill it out yourself. For me to live is money, fame, power. And to die is to leave it all behind, to be forgotten, lose it all. Fill in your banks. Categorize that. For me to live is short term. For me to live is myself. For me to live is, you know, categorize it, label it. And to die is, I'm so satisfied. I made it all. That shows how limited we are. We need to see beyond that. God came into this world. He created us. He created us all humans for eternity. And in Paul's case, Christ. The idea of love, relationship with the eternal creator. And to die is not creation, it's relationship with God. Next slide. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In considering the renewal of the inward human man, look at this question. Where does it say you have to do the work? And the answer is no, you don't have to do the work. Not that you don't do the work, but He never said that you do all the work yourself. He said that I will do it through you, through Christ. He never said that you could please God. He promised. He said that he will do it, and he promised. He has always promised that the case. Okay, next slide. And then next slide goes on the next one. Next slide is going to be interesting. One slide at a time. Stop there. Pause, please. A lot of people ask me, what do I see? What don't? How are my eyes? That's my bad eye. If you notice, if you can see this, just very quickly, everything's black and white. And if you notice, she's holding up a pamphlet. The words are not clearly legible. What I can see is objects. And I can see that it's a female, or, you know, for the most part, I call this 50% vision. I cannot read with this eye. It's okay, I'll tell you why. Next slide, please. This is my good eye. Actually, it's a lot better than this, but I had to come up with pictures. And if you notice in this picture, in the good eye, you can see the letters in there, you can see it's in color. Question to the audience. What happens when you mix the two together? Next slide, please. One more. This is what it looks like. What you cannot see is there are splotches of blurry on the right-hand side, but it is to the point that it doesn't distract me. I can function, I can drive. I can behave like a normal human being. So that is what I see right now, okay? Moving along quickly because I know I'm running out of time, 12:05. Okay, next slide, please. Emails. I try to give you guys an update about once every month or so about what's happening. About last time I sent out an email, I was going back to work. There were two words here that I used. One is the Spirit. You can go look at, we had read this already somewhat in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, verse 47. And the idea of quickening. So I'll go through this very quickly. If you want, I can give you the references. What has happened is that I'm not going to go back to work-life balance. I stole this. I don't like the idea of work-life balance. But to incorporate more of God's Spirit in my day-to-day activities. That's the renewed person that I am. God has definitely quickened me. I will tell you very quickly, very briefly, as I know my time is running out. 3 months ago, if you told me I was going to stand up here and give you this presentation, I would not have told you that, not thought it possible. 3 months ago, even before 3 months ago, I have already heard that John had retired. Before that was Tom, and after John was Nick. I thought I was going to cruise down, land quietly in age 65, retire. Easy in. Unbeknownst to me, 3 months ago, I landed on an aircraft carrier. I did not know I had a tail hook that stopped me from going overboard. This disorder is basically a constriction of the blood vessels that stopped the optic nerve from processing. Those images I showed you, they land perfectly on the retina. But it doesn't go back to the brain because the optic nerves are compromised. I tell you all this is because I fight this disease today or this disorder because if you think about the constriction of this condition, nobody knows why it decided to constrict. The blood vessels will constrict is waiting to constrict unless I do something about this, and it can affect my heart. I could have died, like both eyes. So you talk about what God didn't do. This is a condition, I say. Okay, so I've been given a reprieve. Yeah, I've been awakened. Yeah, you know, you're like one of those passengers suddenly pulled back, you got whiplash and everything else. Yeah, I'll recover from the whiplash. Let's figure out what we're going to do from here on. You're not going to land nicely at 65 or whatever retirement age. Wake up. And I know we've had that conversation more than once, Tim. So moving along, last couple of slides, and then I think we're done. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 47, that's the one that I had talked about earlier, where we talk about the Spirit. This is another famous or very popular verse that we have in the Bible. You can probably fill out the blanks, but again, blank suffers long and is kind, does not envy. Blank does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. As a renewed child of Christ, substitute the blank with your name and read through that. Do people see that more and more each day? That should be your goal. That should be our goal. So, I think I have last couple of slides and then we are done. I know it's kind of running late. Last couple of slides. Let's skip this one. Next, prayer. So, I know you all are very, you guys are the greatest. I know, thank you very much for the support. I know you guys pray for me a lot. But I would ask you for better prayers or more, where we are intelligent and discerning of our renewed, what you call charter at this chapel, for His will to be done. In my case, I don't need the recovery. I've got pretty good eyesight. But what I am interested is in seeing myself renewed. You know, if this chapel gets renewed and have a better outreach, we're closer together for this loss of sight, I would gladly say what Paul has already said. For the loss of my eyesight is nothing compared to our fellowship here. I would. That the renewed inner man will show more love and enlarge this ministry of the renewed inner man ministry for MRBC. I know I'm speaking for myself. I know I'm coming out from David all right now. But that last bullet is more relevant for all of us as we renew ourselves. For our families, Doug, Tim, I'm sorry I'm picking on you guys because you're